Good morning. It's 11 minutes before 8 a.m., and you are listening to Morning Edition over Raven Radio, KCAW in Sitka. Today is Tuesday, December 3rd, 2013. I'm Melissa Marconi-Wenzel with Raven News. The small ferry Leconte will remain out of service until Thursday. The Alaska Marine Highway vessel has not sailed passenger runs since the day before Thanksgiving. The problem is a broken bow thruster, which maneuvers the front of the vessel during dockings. Alaska Transportation Department spokesman Jeremy Woodrow says the Leconte is in dry dock at the Ketchikan shipyard.
The repair plan is a little bit more extensive than maybe originally thought before they put it in dry dock. They realize that there are some issues that they have to, that they're trying to solve the root of the problem so that this doesn't reoccur before replacing the entire bow thruster system.
Similar breakdowns last summer canceled several days of sailings. The full thruster replacement is scheduled for the winter of 2014 to 2015. The Leconte is the only vessel running to Gustavus, Hoonah, Tenneke Springs, and Angoon. The Juneau-based ferry also sails to Haines and Skagway. The ferry Taku serves those communities too. Woodrow says it's no surprise the unit is having problems.
The bow thruster is original to the ferry, and so it is an old part or old unit, and so that's one thing that they're looking at replacing in the next improvement project.
The Leconte is nearly 40 years old. It can carry up to 35 vehicles and 300 passengers. A helicopter from Air Station Sitka transported a Skagway woman to Juneau following an accidental shooting on November 23rd. She was then medevaced to Seattle for medical treatment. 49-year-old Skagway resident Carl Timothy Forrester is charged with felony assault after shooting the woman with a 12-gauge shotgun. Police categorized the felony charge as reckless rather than intentional. According to court records, the woman suffered a shattered right clavicle. Skagway police say she is still recovering at Harborview Medical Center in Seattle. Forrester is being held at Lemon Creek Correctional Facility in Juneau, pending bail. What do the Space Needle, Sitka Sound Science Center, and Cafe Juanita in Kirkland, Washington have in common? Well, they all carry artisanal salt made by Alaska Pure. The Sitka Company's sea salts are designed around flavors reminiscent of Southeast Alaska. In 2013, their wild blueberry sea salt captured a national taste test award. KCAW's Emily Foreman visited their production plant off of Sawmill Creek Road to learn how this Sitka couple makes a kind of salt they and Cooking Light magazine say is superior to your average sea salt.
The Egyptians revered the pyramid shape in part because they believed it to be the shape of the primordial mound from which the earth was created.
This is the where the salt gets made.
Jim and Darcy Mishner love the pyramid because
so when you bite into it, it kind of yields a real fine crunch.
It refers to artisanal finishing salt, the kind that's sprinkled on a dish right before it's served. Their attention to detail won the Mishners a national taste testing award from Cooking Light magazine. The editors wrote, "It's hard to know which is more divine, this salt's texture or its vivid hue. The gorgeous flat flakes are delicate on the palate, shattering beautifully with the faintest pressure. Its nice, clean salt flavor has just a hint of fruity acidity, equally striking, sprinkled on scallops, dusted on a cookie, or clinging to the rim of a margarita glass."
If you look closely, you can see little inverted pyramids floating on the surface. And they start out as a minuscule speck and grow and grow and grow. And when they get large enough and heavy enough, they sink down to the bottom.
And is this your, this is your day job? This is your everything right now?
It's our everything. So once the salt is made and we harvest, it drains.
Ooh.
And it just looks like freshly fallen snow.
It looks like the kind of snow that if you were to like visit Santa at the
yes.
mall.
We think it'd be great for movie sets.
The love affair with salt production started as a happy accident on their honeymoon. They left salt water evaporating on a wood stove for too long and crystals formed. From then on, it was a long, slow, not always scientific process, backbreaking at times. For the first 6 years, they lugged 5-gallon jugs of water from the harbor.
10 5-gallon jugs in the morning, 10 5-gallon jugs in the evening.
Every day. The hard part was nailing down all the variables and figuring out how to replicate the experiment for quality and consistency.
I would say it's 70% science and 30% art. I mean, it really is an art to learning what your salt's doing, like a living thing, and nurturing it and making sure that the conditions are right.
The Mishners describe their first night after they made the leap to the large-scale production facility that they operate now. They couldn't make a single grain of salt. They say that night really tested their marriage.
I'm curious, too, in what ways this has kind of shaped your relationship.
Good communication is key.
Jim and Darcy seem to have found the right balance, both with salt production and their partnership. Jim handles the mechanics, and Darcy handles taste. For instance, how the blueberry salt finishes on your palate.
Does the blueberry taste, does it taste like blueberry?
It does. Now, if you don't have a real discerning palate, some people can't pick that up. A lot of people will taste salt and say, oh, it tastes like salt. Well, of course, it tastes like salt first. You're going to get salt first. But if you let it sit for a minute, you will get a real bright acidity to it and a real berry flavor. It's undeniable, in my opinion.
What some might consider just salt flakes, the Mishners believe are tiny monuments to the natural environment of Southeast Alaska. Pyramids for the last frontier. In Sitka, I'm Emily Foreman.
You can't buy Google Glass yet, but the latest in hands-free technology is starting to turn up in Alaska. So-called Google Glass explorers are investing their time and money trying out what could be the next big thing. Last week, a member of the Google Glass Explorer program dropped by KTOO in Juneau and spoke with Heather Bryant.
Jennifer Moss is an instructional designer for the University of Alaska Fairbanks e-learning and distance education program. She's also a Google Glass Explorer. That means when she's out biking, skiing, or running, she's often wearing a pair of technology-infused glasses. They don't have lenses, but they do have a small display and camera that sits just above her right eye. She's able to search the internet, send texts and tweets, and share photos and video using voice commands or swipe gestures. She can share live video in a Google Hangout or even see a map interface that gives her directions. Glass was introduced to the world in the spring of 2012 and has since been called one of the next big things in the world of wearable technology. Google's Sergey Brin said in a TED Talk earlier this year that the idea for Glass was born from wanting to deliver an experience that doesn't isolate people the way staring down at a screen does. Moss says wearing Glass is a lot like having a smartphone strapped to your head. Google invited people to join a limited pool of users to test the devices by asking them to tweet what would they do if they had Glass. Moss saw the invitation and responded with an Alaskan take on using the technology.
So I sent out a tweet back to Google saying that I would use Google Glass for recording the aurora at 40 below from my backyard in Fairbanks, because I thought that would be a good test of the device for dark conditions and extreme cold situations. So that was good enough to get me an invitation to purchase.
Explorers had to shell out $1,500 for the glasses and fly to Google's headquarters to pick them up. This testing period is the company's approach to refining the device before making it available for wide distribution. Given the nature of Moss's job, her employer was on board with buying the glasses. Since then, Moss has been testing out the capabilities of the device for education and research.
I'm also taking them into classrooms and introducing them to students and getting just the conversation going about what can you do with wearable technology such as this in the classroom situation, and introducing them to faculty and researchers at the university who might be interested in taking them out into the field and using them for field experiments and recording mostly.
Moss says using Glass has been a fairly intuitive experience, and she could see the use of the device becoming widespread once it's for sale.
Well, I think that it's very good for educators and the business community as well to really take a look at this new wearable technology. It's about to become and is rapidly becoming the next largest industry.
Sometimes Alaska's small population and limited bandwidth can be a bit of a barrier to keeping up with new technologies, but Moss says there are still ways for Alaskans to stay in the loop.
You know, we do have the wonderful world of the internet, and we can learn about all kinds of things as they come out and be on that cutting edge to some extent.
But until glass hits the stores sometime next year, we'll have to stick to searching for information the old-fashioned way, looking down at a screen in our hands. In Juneau, I'm Heather Bryant.
And the state has released regulations to implement Alaska's oil tax law, including use of metering to help determine what oil qualifies for special tax breaks. The law, aimed at spurring more production, sets a 35% base tax rate and provides a capped per-barrel credit that the Parnell administration expects will apply to the vast majority of the legacy fields. It also provides tax breaks for so-called new oil. Lawmakers debated how best to define new oil. Metering would relate to one type of new oil, that coming from Anchorage, added to existing producing reservoirs. Separate meters would not be required for each well, addressing an industry concern. But Representative Beth Curtula worries the regulations create a loophole that would allow oil from existing pools to get a better tax rate. And that's all for Raven News for this morning. It's 8 a.m. This is KCAW Sitka. Should be sunny today in Sitka and Port Alexander and most of communities in our listening area, with highs around 42 degrees and east winds 10 miles per hour early in the morning, becoming light and variable. Mostly clear tonight with lows around 31 and light winds, and partly cloudy tomorrow with highs around 39 and northwest winds 5 miles per hour. It's currently 27 degrees in downtown Sitka and skies are clear. Stay tuned for the local interview at 8:18 with Willow Moore from Braveheart Volunteers. We're going to talk about the Braveheart Bowls fundraiser, which is coming up on Wednesday at 5:30 p.m. at Harrigan Centennial Hall. Some things going on around town today. The Sitka School Board will meet at 6 p.m. in the high school library. The meeting is open to the public. And the Ocean Wave Quilters Guild will meet at 7 p.m. at Grace Harbor Church. That meeting is also open to the public. Call 747-3653. Here's National Public Radio. Stay with us if you can, and have a good morning.